It is June the 1st, 2012. Time again for Afternoons with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown. Glad to have you here. Now, it may sound like I'm in an empty room, and maybe I'm kind of sort of in an empty room because normally at 1 o'clock in the afternoon at Flanner House Charter School, one of the oldest charter schools in our city, one of the first three that were opened by Mayor Bart Peterson nearly 12 years. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Nearly 12 years ago. Normally, there would be a lot of kids running around and doing whatever, but we are here today and in our first hour talking about education, talking about something that I said to the Indianapolis Recorder this week, the tyranny of testing. Now, that doesn't mean that our kids shouldn't be tested, shouldn't be evaluated, but sometimes tests and things go strange and people act crazy, and we're here at Flanner House because of something that happened in the month of March with their third graders that was, well, we'll get into that. We got teachers, we got principals, and you can get in touch with the conversation at 239-1310, 239-1310. In our second hour, one of the city's oldest neighborhood health clinics is in a battle with a major hospital system. We'll hear their side of the story, what's going on with Citizens Health Center and what's causing them to go to court against Wishart. Oh my goodness, that's coming in our second hour. Plus, if that's not enough, the unemployment figures came out for the United States this morning. It is not good news for President Barack Obama. The national unemployment rate went from 8.1% in April to 8.2% in May. Only 69,000 new jobs were created in May. The stock market done gone haywire. Ooh, that's not a good sign. Mitt Romney and the Republicans are saying, aha, see, the president can't create jobs. We need to be in there. We'll talk more about that. In the last 30 minutes, the Department of Public Safety released a report on why some members of IMPD messed around with that blood evidence in the Bizard case. They sent out a 16-page report with all kind of colored pictures of the blood evidence. We'll tell you about those conclusions in our second hour, but we begin with our kids and education. Now, they have had I-STEP tests going on here in Indiana. Oh, my goodness gracious, this got to be back to the 90s when I-STEP started. And everybody kind of knows that once a year, young people from the grades of third all the way to the high school level have to take I-STEP. And unless you were in high school where you had to take I-STEP in high school, they now call it the end of course completion test, you really, nothing happened to the kids if you didn't do well on I-STEP. You just dusted yourself off, as in the old Jay-Z song, and you picked yourself up and you move forward. Then a couple of years ago, the state legislature concerned, and as all Hoosiers are, wanting to make sure that Hoosier students know how to read at grade level, came up with a brilliant idea saying, gee, let's have a test to make sure that at third grade, third graders are reading at a third grade level, and if they're not reading at a third grade level, we'll kind of hold them back from moving to the next grade level until we know and we're confident that they're reading at a third grade level, which makes a lot of sense. So they created something called iRead. The State Department of Education got all the teachers and all the public and private schools that are accredited involved in iRead, but of course they didn't bother to tell the public that iRead was coming along, so it took a lot of parents and maybe not students and teachers by surprise because they kind of knew what was going on. They gave iRead in the middle of March, and if you remember, near the end of February, we had the folks from the State Department of Education on talking about iRead, and one of the questions I asked them was, gee, guys, what happens if a student passes I-STEP but doesn't pass iRead? And the folks from the state kind of hemmed and hawed and went, ooh. So when iRead results came out 3 weeks ago on May the 15th, out of all the public schools in the state of Indiana, a number of schools got 100% right, a number of schools got 90% right, a lot of schools did well. The school at the absolute bottom of the list in terms of their third graders passing iRead was Flanner House Charter School, right here in the 2400 block of Dr. King Street. And that caused a firestorm of controversy Maybe not so much among the people at the Flanner House Charter School, but the Indianapolis Star dogged the Flanner House Charter School out, basically called them everything but a child of God. The mayor's charter school office threatened them with all kinds of strange and weird things. And then something interesting happened. At the same time, these third graders here at Flanner House was taking, I read, a week later they had to take the second part of I-STEP. The week before they did I-READ, they took the essay and written part of I-STEP. And when the scores came back last week for I-STEP, those same third graders that didn't do well on I-READ, only 26% of them passed. Nearly all of those third graders passed I-STEP, 89%. And when I looked at the results from Flanner House's third graders last year in I-READ English and Language Arts, 86% of them passed I-STEP. So obviously, they got I-STEP going on here at Flanner House. I-READ seems to be the fluke. In the house, we have the ladies that are on the firing line, Latika Warthoff, who is the principal school leader here at the Flanner House Charter School, and two of the teachers, Angie Hood, who's the Title I teacher, and Takia White, who is the third grade teacher. Guys, welcome. First of all, thanks for having us here. Glad to be here. First of all, for those that aren't familiar, what is Flanner House Charter School?
Flanner House Charter School is a mayor-sponsored charter school. We educate students from kindergarten through sixth grade. We really pride ourselves on the school's mission as far as educating the whole child. We are very, very involved in our students' education, and we pride ourselves on just having more or less a family tradition that has always been in existence at the beginning of Flanner House Elementary Charter School.
When I pulled up here, there's a big banner out in front of the door that talks about Flanner House School, that you aren't on any kind of double secret probation with the Department of Education. You all have met the adequate yearly progress.
Yes. And a few years ago, we did receive a dip in the I-STEP scores, as well as the other schools across the state of Indiana. But once we were able to see that we had a dip in the I-STEP scores, we just began to develop more intense reading programs. We started focusing more on reading professional development, and since then our scores have always elevated and always have improved since that point. But like I said, that was when the new I-STEP transition evolved, where I believe a lot of the schools received that hit that year. But since then, we have really been on the mark and really pushing to improve our scores.
When you all first going to I-READ, when the school first got the indication of how your third graders did on I-READ, that would have been a couple of weeks before the media and the general public was told. What was your reaction? Was it like, wait a minute, you counted the wrong school?
Yes, I think as a school leader, and like I say, even along with my staff, I think that we all shared in a point of disappointment. We were very devastated, but I think the main focal point was that as we met, we of course had emergency meeting to actually find out what happened, what went wrong, looking at different aspects, what happened with the students, what did we do wrong. It was very hard for us because we never received a hit that low. But throughout us meeting, I guess there was a sense of confidence within myself and the staff, because we knew that that was not a clear picture of our students. We knew that our students were capable of doing so much more. And then looking at our NWEA scores from...
What's NWEA? That somebody's listening to that and think that's a rap.
So basically, we may have third grade students that come into a classroom, but that does not mean that every student is on third grade level. There's always some differentiation there. So what we look at, we take this test at the beginning of the year, the very beginning of the year, to see exactly where each child is at. And then we take it towards the end of the year to measure the growth of every single child. And we saw within these same group of students that these students scored a 63% growth in reading language arts. So it wasn't an issue as if though Were these kids being taught? Were they learning? We started kind of looking at the test. We started looking at different dynamics, but I guess we always held that confidence within our students and in our staff that, you know, we don't know what happened, but we're going to find out what happened. But we knew as a school that we had so many measures that we had put into place, so many different things. We had an excellent teacher in that classroom, excellent support systems. And then we looked at our other test data, and it just didn't correlate.
Did you get an indication? Because all you saw were how your kids did. You could add it up in the aggregate, and you're going, well, this is 26. This doesn't make any sense. Did you ask the state whether you got, hey, are we the lowest of the low? Are there folks lower than us to kind of get some indication? Or did you were there opportunities to say, would you, you know, run those papers back through the machine and check them again or hand check them? Maybe the counters made an error. Maybe the machine reader that reads the black and ovals made a mistake.
No, we never really had an opportunity to go back and ask for a retest or a recount. I think what happened with us, we just immediately jumped into as far as what can we do. We began meeting. We began looking at our data. We began looking at different areas. I guess we were so just discouraged and just disappointed. And we're like, wait a minute, this is not a true picture of our children. And we were just trying to figure out what can we do as a school. And then we were dealing with the media coming out, you know, saying different things. So we were really, we couldn't control that aspect, but what we could control was what we were doing as a school and what we were doing to educate our children. And I think that's where our focus was really driven to.
Let me ask Takiyah, who was there, you know, in the third grade, when the kids were taking iRead, you know, because sometimes when kids take a test, you know, they got a sixth sense. They can kind of tell if they didn't do a good job or they get frustrated. What kind of feedback did you get from the kids at the time they were taking iRead?
Well, when they were taking the test, they seemed pretty upbeat, in good spirits. We tried to explain that it was important, but try to keep them calm so that they felt confident with why they were taking the test. So after it was finished, no one was upset. I didn't have any children crying or anything. They all thought they did an awesome job. So we were very shocked when those scores came back and they didn't do as well as they had thought.
Did they miss the cut, the passing score? Did they miss it by just so much? Was it a case of missing by a point or two or missing by a mile? And, you know, Tyler, Angie?
Yes. The children with IEPs did miss by quite a bit, but the children who went on to pass ISTEP and language arts were only missing it by 2, 4, 6 points that this summer you will see a difference in, you know, when they retake the test for iRead. So this was a
case where, and I'm going to come back to the special ed, the kids that are on the IEP. But this was a case where the bulk of the kids that missed, you know, to use the old line from the Get Smart show, missed it by that much?
That's correct. That's correct. And we have all the papers to prove it, showing how many points they missed and by how much they narrowly missed passing. So that's why we're confident in the retake.
I know ISTEP has a appeal process or a retest process. Does iRead have that? And if they don't, should they?
I believe they should, but we're waiting for them to come out like they have for ISTEP. They have IMAST, which is...
What's IMAST?
IMAST is a test that children with IEP get to take because they're tested at a different level, even on the same grade as their peers, and that is part of why our scores in ISTEP were a lot higher than on iRead. And on the iRead's website, they state that they are coming up, the state is coming up with a test to accommodate those children. We're just very disappointed that they put out all the scores without coming up with a complete package for iRead first.
So let me make sure I understand this. So your kids on IEP, they took iRead or they did not take iRead?
They took iRead and the scores were counted in as with all the other children in the classroom. But on ISTEP, they were not counted because they took a separate test.
So this is weird. So the ones that are on IEP, they're counted in that. In iRead, the ones that are on IEP take a different ISTEP, and those count numbers aren't counted in your totals.
Correct. And that doesn't seem fair. That's why, to us, the iRead was a fluke, because all the other test statistics are very positive in terms of how well our third graders did.
When these tests come back, because you all get the results several days, several weeks before the public, we in the media. How do you deal with the kids? Is it an individual talk with each student to kind of walk them through how they did? And I know with iStep, parents have the ability to go online, get the data. They can print out the parts of the test where they can go over with the kid. How did you work with the parents and the kids to first deal with the agony of defeat for I read and the thrill of victory with iStep with your kids?
Well, it was very devastating for them, first of all. We sent letters home.
That's for I read.
Yes, for I read, because that was the first test scores that they had received back. So when they got home with their parents and they read this letter, they were devastated. When they came back, they were upset. They thought that they'd done a good job, and immediately they wanted to know, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do better?
Wait. The kids are asking you, what do we do to do better? They just didn't, you know, run off and hide and do whatever. They were saying, oh, no, we got this. We're going to deal with this?
Yes, that's the way that class is. They struggle, but they are they just stick in there. So they were just like, well, Ms. White, well, what can we do? So we immediately started the pull-out process, you know, giving those kids more time and trying to go back and give them those skills that they were lacking not to pass that test. So they were okay with that. They understood that, okay, now we're getting help, so we're going to do better. And that's what we kept telling them. It's okay. You didn't do well this time, but when you take it again, you're going to do fine because you didn't miss it by that much.
So here comes iStep. And then what happened when you talk to the same kids in iStep and say, guess what?
They were just as confused as I was. Yes. Yes. I mean, they were excited, of course. They celebrated, they shouted, they cheered, because I didn't go into their personal scores, but I told them we did really well. So, of course, they were very excited, giving each other high fives and everything like that. And then one's like, well, why didn't we pass iRead then? So they're intelligent to know that there was some disconnect there. So they understood that. But they still were very encouraging. They felt like, I was like, well, you did iRead, you did iStep well, you'll be able to do iRead. When you take it again, you'll be fine.
Got to ask, you know, from the principal's perspective, when y'all getting dogged out on television, here's the five worst schools in the Western, and what reaction did you get from parents and the other classes and teachers here at Flanner House Elementary School? Because it's not, you guys are not just third, you're third all the way up to
sixth grade. Yes, actually, our parents were very, very supportive. We really didn't even have many parents. I don't think not one parent came to me as the leader in question, or even the teacher, what's going on, what with this, I'm hearing this, that, and the other, because I really feel that the trend here at Flanner House Elementary School is we are built on academic success. They know that there had to have been something. It was one test, but they know that they know our history. So a lot of our parents were very supportive. Even as far as the students that did not pass iRead, they used to go to summer school. They had them here for tutoring. They just wrapped their arms around us, and they supported us because they knew the trend here. They knew the history here, and they know that we've always been a school that could always brag on our testing results and can always look at us as if, though, you know what, I brought my child here. My child was struggling, but guess what? Flanner House has worked with my child, and my child has made leaps and bounds. And they respect us for that. And I feel like I would have to commend our parents for that, because they didn't go with the media. They didn't go. They did not kick us. It was a time where they was like, you know what? It's okay, because we know you all better than that.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. You may have a question. You may have a comment. We're here with the folks from Flanner House Elementary School. And the thing that's gotten me so far in this conversation is the attitude of these third graders, you know, because there's some kids, if you're told, well, you didn't do well on a test, you know, they would turn off. They would go inward. They would say, to heck with this. But they're taking they're acting like the Pacers. We're acting, you know, say, hey, you know, we're going to do our best. You know, we're going to take this playoff.
Yes, that was just that group of kids. They knew the atmosphere in my class. You try your best. And when you give your personal best, then you're proud of that, because that was your personal best. And I think they left that test feeling like they did do their personal best. Whether it was maybe it was the first time I ever taken this test, so I wasn't really sure what I needed to do. But they knew, okay, Miss White is going to help us get to the next level, so we're not going to get down on ourselves. And we did have a little pity party for a while, just for, you know, for that day, and then we moved on. What can we do next?
One of the things we were talking before we went on the air and trying to understand the sequencing that occurred in March, and evidently for these third graders, the first standardized test they took in the month of March was the for English and Language Arts and Reading was I-STEP, where you have to write an essay, which means you got to understand what the question is in order to frame the essay and what have you. Then they went to, before they did I-Read, they did this measuring test. Is that multiple choice or is that a multiplicity of stuff?
It's actually a multiple choice test, and it is administered on the computer.
So then they go from composition to doing something on the computer, which is kind of fun, you know. I'm sure all your third graders are into the computer. Then they had to go to iRead, which was a traditional multiple choice test. And I think you all were telling me this was would have been these young men and women's first encounter with the multiple choice fill in, blacken in the oval test?
Yes, that's correct. And they did. We did a lot of practice with filling in bubbles, but I know that some of them, they forgot to fill in the bubbles. They didn't fill them in all the way. They're used to Miss White grading their tests. And I did try to give them a lot of prep with, okay, it's going to be a computer grading these tests, so you really have to fill in the bubbles. But when it's your first time doing something, they were so excited. And I think they may have been so confident that they thought, okay, I know the answer. Let me just bubble in quickly. And it might not have been filled in all the way. So, yes, that was their very first time ever taking a test with time constraints and filling in bubbles and all that.
And so after that, then they go to I-STEP second part, which is multiple choice, but then they probably figure, hey, I got this.
Yes, they were so confident by then, because after that, we had already knew how we did on the I-Read, because we had just gotten our scores back. So we were like, okay, we're really going to take our time. We talked about going back and checking over our answers. And in that particular test, you could write in the book. We weren't sure if you could write in the book in the I-Read or not. It was a brand new test. So they really
say write in the book, that's like making notes in the test book?
Right. And with I-STEP, it said that it was okay for them to write in the book. So they went back and I could see them underlining things and really taking their time, because they wanted to do well. That's just the kind of kids they are. And they took their time with that last portion, and I think they felt like they mastered it by then.
239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's the name is. We're at Flanner House Charter School, which is, it's got the name Flanner House. It's located in the same area as the Flanner House Multi-Service Center, but it's not, it's a separate thing, even though it's got Flanner House's name. It's separate too. The Flanner House Multi-Service Center that has the multi-service center, that has the preschool, that has the senior citizens program, that has the library, and of course it's right next to Watkins Park, catty corner from the Center for Leadership Development. This is like the parks and recreation and learning area of the Unwa neighborhood. 239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's with Amos. We'll take let me see here. Let me try to go to the phone lines, and we're using the modern fancy internet-based hoop-de-doop technology, so there is just a little bit of a bounce. Let me start today with Anonymous. Anonymous, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Amos. I work in the educational instructional field in one of the township schools, and I just feel that this whole testing thing all the way around is blown totally out of proportion. It's unbalanced. I think the numbers are played with to use them to certain advantages. My son attends the same school in the same township, honor roll. Amos, he did not pass I-STEP. How can you be on honor roll consistently? Mm. Something's wrong somewhere. And it's not that I'm not an involved parent. It's not. Teachers are under so much pressure. If the pencil isn't the right length, you could lose your license. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but some of the rules and the stress level, I don't think this is what education is meant to be. It's unacceptable. These tests are not realistic measurements of kids' ability.
All right, Anonymous. I appreciate the call. Thank you. One of the things that Anonymous, the caller, was talking about was pressure under teachers. He kind of jokingly said, if the pencil's not the right length, you know, the teacher's going to get this. You know, how much pressure do you feel? Were you feeling Peyton Manning pressure?
Oh, gosh, yes. Yes. I mean, it is. It was a lot of pressure. It was a lot of weight put on that iRead test. As a teacher, I felt, you know, that my students were, they took such a small portion of the whole school year. And that test was weighted. If they didn't pass, they couldn't go on to fourth grade. So I'm feeling for them. I'm feeling for our school. So it was like, we can't fail. We have to do a good job. So, yes, it was a lot of pressure.
Is that fair for educators to have Peyton Manning pressure, to have LeBron James type pressure, to have Barack Obama type pressure?
No, I don't think it's fair. I think that looking at it, it takes the creative spark away from teachers. I feel that it's starting to be more or less that teachers they have so many mandates for them to where we're just teaching to the test. We're teaching to the test. What happened to the creativity? What happened to things that we go back to years ago, the phonics base, those things that our students really, really need? And it is a lot of pressure on the teachers, but, you know, we don't use that as an excuse because I feel that our teachers have very high expectations for their students. And basically, we don't need a test to measure definitely if our students have passed or failed, because we know our students.
Let me go to Brenda at 239-1310. Brenda, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing today, sir? Amos?
We're fine. Go ahead.
Hello to your guest.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to say that the last caller hit the nail right on the head in terms of, I'm not someone who has conspiracy theories, but I agree with the teachers that are there. Flannery has always been a school of education. It's had high learners. And we are trusting these tests to either advance our children forward or send them backwards. And it appears that too many of our children are being sent backwards. And how do we give trust to that system? Who are the people who correct these tests, or where do they come from? What interest do they have in our children succeeding? Is this being done by design? These are questions, Agnes, and I think we should at least look into these questions. How is it that many of our young black children are not passing this reading test? It makes no sense to me.
Well, at the same time, Brenda, you made some excellent points, but for these young people at Flannery House to be scoring in the high 80% on I-STEP, which is part of its multiple choice, but part of it is writing, making conclusions, and that means those people that graded in the favor of the Flannery House third graders. So it's not that these young people, they did great on a test that requires that grading. And I think Brenda was talking about, well, who's grading the test on the multiple choice. The computer grades it. And they're trying to take the bias out of it. But as you all looked at those questions for the first time, I know when I have seen I-STEP, they seem to go out of their way, the people that write those tests, to include names and subject matter and some verbiage that would be familiar to young people of color, whether it's names whether it's proper names of people. So you'll see Hispanic surnames, you'll see African American, you'll see a Lakeisha up in there, and those kind of names to make kids feel comfortable. Did you see the same type of, with those same type of care done in iRead?
No, that was not. It was just straightforward, a lot of nonfiction reading. It did not have any ethnic names in it or anything like that. It was, some of the stories were about animals, so it didn't have that same connection.
So there could be a culture bias in iRead from your perspective that maybe I-STEP doesn't have, because we've had I-STEP now long enough where enough people have beat I-STEP up to do that right.
I agree with that. I believe so. And I think, too, with ISTEP, there's been so much that our teachers really did to prepare our students for it. It's a test where we teach starting as soon as the students walk in here in August, we begin giving the students skills and techniques in order to achieve, find answers, looking at nonfiction texts, things like that. So I do think that does play a point.
239-1310, 239-1310, that's afternoon's name is we're live at the Flanner House Charter School. They're the school that in iRead, they were kind of like the Pacers were 4 or 5 years ago, but in ISTEP, they're where the Colts are. They are consistently, particularly the eighth graders, the third graders, consistently high performers in ISTEP. 239-1310, 239-1310, that's news. Name is, when we come back, we'll tell you. We tried to get a response and invited on the program the folks from the Mayor's Charter School Office. I got to check my email to see whether they had till 1 o'clock to provide me a response. We'll see whether they gave me something timely or not. Anyway, it's Afternoons with Amos. We're live from Flanner House Charter School, 239-1310. 239-1310 gets you in touch with the conversation. We're live after these. All right, we're back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We asked for a response, or we invited, actually, the head of the Mayor's Charter School office, and we also, out of courtesy, notified the Deputy Mayor for Education, inviting them to come on this program. They declined to come on. However, they have provided a statement attributable to the Deputy Mayor for Education, Jason Cloth. In that statement, the Deputy Mayor says, quote, "We have not yet seen the ISTEP results for 2012, so we cannot comment on how those results compare or contrast to the results from iRead. It's important to contextualize iRead results by realizing that the assessment is a single measure capturing proficiency in only one subject at one grade level. Therefore, we would not make any long-term decisions about the future of Flanner House Elementary School based on the iRead results alone. The mayor's performance framework is intentionally designed to assess school performance in all areas with equal significance. Thus, the academic performance, board governance, financial health, and leadership are all important indicators of quality that we evaluate annually. We very much look forward to receiving ISTEP results for Flanner House, as well as the results for the school based on the Indiana growth model and the new A through F grading system. Additionally, we anticipate that within the next findings from the site visit review conducted recently at Flanner House by external evaluators. Each of these pieces will play an important role in helping to shape our understanding of the quality of Flanner House Elementary School." That's the statement from the Deputy Mayor of Education, Jason Cloth, and it sounds, looking at this, it sounds, Lakeitha Warthall, principal, that this is a slight shift in what the director of charter schools told the Indianapolis Star when iRead first came out, because that attitude was kind of cold at that point. My words, not yours.
Yes, after reading the article, I think one of the things that was kind of portrayed in the article was the leadership role and the succession of the leadership at Flanner House Elementary School. And it was a question as far as the change in leadership, but I'm not sure if it was really put out there that I've been the principal at Flanner House Elementary School. I'll be going into my sixth year. So there really was not a change in leadership as far as the role of the principal at the school. So I think that was kind of very important that on it came as far as our test scores and ISTEP, we never continued a pattern of going down. We continued a pattern of improving and going forward.
The Deputy Mayor's statement mentions the letter grade. What's the current letter grade for Flanner House?
I believe the current letter grade for Flanner House is we're looking between an average of a B and a C. And like I said, that is always growing and moving forward. So hopefully, looking forward.
Well, this school has never been placed on what the old category before the letter grade, academic watch or academic probation. This school has never been in either of those categories.
Yes, I do believe before, I believe my first year when I arrived at Flaring House, we were on academic, it was on academic watch or academic probation, but they only, yes, it was in 2007, but they only, we only stayed there for 1 year. That following year, our test scores just absolutely just soared.
So you all have never been in either of the lower two categories before they went to letter grades, which was, you know, academic watch and probation.
We are currently on academic progress, so that means that we're moving up in our...
It's a C, isn't it?
Yep, but we're moving up because we used to be on academic watch, and there's only two categories to go up, and we're going to achieve it within a couple of years.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Let me go back to the phones. Dawson, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, how you doing? Hello?
I'm fine. Go ahead.
You hear me? Hello?
I can hear you fine, Dawson. Just say
all
what you
I
got.
All I want to say is if the parents teach the kids how to read at home around the dining room table like I did, they wouldn't have no whole lot of problems in school
today.
Let
me kind of move on to Buck. When you All right, I appreciate it. When, you know, we got a slight feedback problem with the telemetry that we're using to broadcast today. So all that we ask you, when you hear me say go, you go. And say what you and bring your question and comment. Let me go to Buck at 239-1310. Buck, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Amos? You know, I listen to your show all the time. I appreciate what you do and give to the community. I'm going to make it quick and brief. But what I taught for 14 years at the high school level. And when the I-STEP first came out, you were answering my question when you gave my comment when you said who's, you know, what's really the agenda for doing this test. And, you know, and I'm thinking you got to look at the bigger picture as far as, you know, I hate to say it, but they're using the kids to make, you know, somebody makes a test up and it's real biased. And then they, like you said, after a while, they chopped up I-STEP so much. Then they had, oh, we got to go back and make these questions different because it's not. So now you can talk so much to I-STEP, you know, almost every school, kids do good on I-STEP. Now they got this new test coming out. It's like, okay, now what are they going to do? Because, you know, in a couple of states already, this has passed saying that they can vote out I was taking the I-STEP. You know, so what's going to happen when it comes to the state of Indiana? You know, that's my thing. What I want to say is to all the parents who are listening and all the teachers and administrators that are listening who don't, I mean, because my whole biggest thing is we need to bombard them downtown, let them know we don't need a test to regulate how good our kids are doing. If we know the kids are passing, like the other guy comment said, his son passed the I-STEP, honor roll, but didn't pass the I-STEP. Again, there's something wrong with this picture if we got kids that are doing that. You know, and if you got to make a loophole, that means somewhere along the line, the test don't need to be there. So when they started voting for don't want to have these tests and just let teachers teach, every administrator, every teacher, parent needs to jump on that and let them know we don't need that because what happened with the I-STEP was, you know, even when we had teachers who took the test and didn't pass when they first took the I-STEP, and we was like, wait a minute, how are we not pass the test? We know because it's got to be a certain way, bias. And all that. So my thing is when the parents hear about when that comes through and the teachers and administrators, because it's all left up to the state downtown, they need to jump on and let them know we don't want that because that's the whole thing. They're doing it to our kids, but then in the meanwhile, the principals and the teachers in the school level is being blamed like they're messing up, not doing a good job, when evidently they're doing a good job, but such as this test you have them doing is not fair and it's too biased, even for kids that are not black, it's still biased because, you know, if little kids are little kids, and they don't wake up that morning, don't feel like taking a test, they don't feel like taking a test, but now it hurts them, and you try to get them geared up to do it, but I just... point of I'm want to make is we need to jump on it when the time comes when they say, hey, do we want to keep this or not, and just get rid of it because of the fact of let teachers teach, not teach a test to the kids, because you spend half the year teaching the test to the kids, and that's not fair to the kids, and it's certainly not fair to the teacher who went to school for 4 or 5 years to get an education and to teach a school, and also now I got to spend most of my time teaching a test because it goes back to who wants to make how much money for the powers that be. So that's what I have to say. Thank you, Amos.
All right, good points, Buck. I appreciate it. One of the things people in the business community say, well, we have to have these standardized tests because these folks in the schools, they will just give a good grade to anybody, even if they don't know anything. They just will put somebody on the honor roll, even if they, you know, don't pass an I-STEP. As a classroom teacher, how do we balance out making sure that if you give a kid an A or a B or whatever the top grades are in your class, that means not only did they earn that grade, but they've mastered that knowledge, and that when they leave you at third grade, they are fourth graders, not just in name, but they're fourth graders in terms of they've mastered all the subjects that they're supposed to master in third grade.
Well, here at Flinter House, we work closely with the state standards. So our grades are not necessarily just given by the work that is given, but they do have to master that particular standard in order to receive an A for that particular grading period. So they should be able to compete at any fourth grade at any school that they go to, because according to the state, this is what they needed to know in order to be proficient in third grade.
And a lot of it is, and these state standards are not secret. They are public. They're available. If you go to Black Expo, go to the booth that the State Department of Education has, they actually pass out the books that tell you. If you want to know what the fourth grade standards are, they'll give you the fourth grade standards. Do parents understand the standards? Do they really know that, hey, you can look and see what it is your kid's supposed to know if they're a fifth grader or a sixth grader or even a junior in high school?
We give the parents the opportunity to know what's going on with their child at every grade level. In third grade, for both iRead and iStep, when we were going through what the parents can do to help, we sent home letters that students and their parents have an opportunity to get on the computer and work on Acuity, which is based on Indiana standards.
What's Acuity? Because people may be listening and not sure what that word means.
Acuity is a diagnostic test that we take four times a year, and it aligns with the state curriculum, and it helps the teacher gauge what needs to be retaught. So if, like, the majority of students have not passed 1.5.3, which might be a standard on arithmetic, you know, on a certain level, maybe geometry, then the teacher knows that she needs to reteach it. And the students at home have the opportunity, and we also have a public library here, if they don't have a computer at home, where they can actually take practice on the things that they were low in to help them achieve those standards. So we have a lot of ways that we communicate with our parents so that they are brought into our testing situation.
Does the state need to educate the general public as to what really goes on now in schools? And the reason I say that is most Hoosiers don't have a kid in public school. You know, they don't have kids in school yet. They're the ones who are paying for all, you know, for all of the cost of public education in this state. And their knowledge of education is what they took when they were in third grade or fifth grade or high school. And they don't realize what state standards are, that it's not just something written on paper, that it is part of the benchmarks that you have to meet, whether you are a charter school or whether this was IPS or Perry Township or what have you. Do we need, as a state, to educate all Hoosiers? You know, it is, before these Republicans get out here, they need to break off some of that money and really promote and advertise what these standards are and understand what really goes on. The kids are expected to hit these benchmarks.
Yes, I think that would be wonderful. And not only with educating the different individuals that are out there in the community, I think it would also be very profound for exactly see what our teachers are expected to teach. With all the different things that are going on, I believe it's just so profound. You can always hear it, you can always see it, you can always read it, but until you walk in the doors of a classroom, it will never become real to you. And that's one thing I can't say about the Flinter House Elementary School Board. They understand that. They know what it's like to walk into the doors. They know what it's like to look into a classroom. They can feel that. And I think that's when it really becomes a realistic picture for everyone. We can always write and see and hear. And I think with the different mandates that are coming down from the state, they change a lot. So people that think that schools are mandated for just standards only, we have different things coming down as far as the Common Core standards. So things are consistently changing. So it would be wonderful to just for individuals to be able to just get an eye in on education and to make it real to them.
I got to ask you before I take a break, has the deputy mayor for education visited Flinter House Elementary School yet?
No, he hasn't had the opportunity to actually come in and visit, but we definitely can't wait to meet him and be able to allow him to come hand in hand and meet our children and our staff.
So. See, to me, if you're the deputy mayor for education and the mayor's charter schools are on your list and there's only... ...4 weeks he was there, and even he just popped in. So I'm sure the monitors that are monitoring this show today, when you put down the monitor, say, Amos said the deputy mayor for education, Jason Cloth, needs to get up out to office and come visit the Flanner House. Not on an inspection. He just needs to come and check it out and find out what's going on. 239-1310, 239-1310, that's Afternoons with Amos. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of your calls. In our second hour, we may continue with this. Also, we're hearing one of the city's oldest neighborhood community health centers has got to file a lawsuit because there's some stuff going on between them and Wishart. We'll tell you all about that in our second hour. It's Afternoons with Amos. We're live from the Flanner House Elementary School after these. Welcome back. We're at Flanner House Elementary School. They're the school that I read, not so good. I step. They knocked it out of the park. Nearly 90% of their third graders passed I-STEP, English and Language Arts, over 60% passed I-STEP math, and this was the school that the media, including Scott Elliott of the Indianapolis Star, beat up and dogged out because in their I-READ scores, they were the lowest in the state. But as we learned earlier from Takiyah White, who's the third grade teacher, those third graders weren't down. They're saying, okay, how can we knock it out the box on the retest? Angie Hood's the Title I teacher. Has Scott Elliott, for the education reporter from the Indianapolis Star, the education blogger, he's got all these big full-page ads in the paper saying how he covers education. Has he been out here to Flanner House Elementary School?
He has not been so far. But
he has not heard this story about these third graders who, you know, have got to come in here for the summer, who are all fired up for I-READ and ready to go?
He has not. But we'd like to challenge him to come out and see what we're doing here at Flanner House, because we want to be known as more than just our test scores. We were in the same article that he wrote with Sidner Gifted and Talented Academy, and he probably is aware that the Gifted and Talented Academy does not take students with challenges that we have. We are a school that takes anybody that walks in our doors, and we educate anyone that comes through our doors. So to put us in the same article and say how bad we're doing compared to a school that is that chooses and picks what students come in is just unfair.
Let me follow up on that, because I'm sitting here in this large multi-purpose room here at Flanner House Elementary, and I'm looking at some of the names on the doors, and one of the things that's out in the community about charter schools is that charter schools don't have facilities for young people who are special ed, young people who have IEPs. As we started this discussion, one of the first things we were hearing was about the IEP kids, the kids on special education. I'm looking, you've got an office that's shared with a speech therapist, Angie Hood. You're the Title I teacher. So this Flanner House Elementary is not in this myth of charter schools don't have the services, for kids in need.
We are very unique in this school community. We do have Cummins therapies that are involved with us. We have a life skills program. We have a special ed teacher. We have a special ed teacher assistant. So we have plenty of people that help out our students. But when they look at the newspaper and they read about our school, they don't see all the components to go into what kind of children we serve, and we believe in educating the whole child. So you might not see progress on their scores, but we see progress in their lives, and that's what education is about.
Let me go to Tawana at 239-1310. Tawana, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you today, Amos?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was calling.
I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I was calling in regards to a follow-up for the story over at Tech and my children, the incident being bullied. Oh, however, we thought we had a resolution. He was supposed to be making a plan, a safety plan for the girls to return back to school. But when we got up there today, he was hollering and shouting and said he never heard of a safety plan and he wasn't providing a safety plan to send my kids to class, or he's going to file truancy. Now, we're victims.
This is the principal told you this, Urell at Tech?
Yes, he actually shouted it. He yelled it loudly. He said he had a whole lot going on. He has meetings or whatever. It's the end of the year. Why am I dragging this along? He wants this to be over with. Send my kids to class, or he's going to file truancy. And I told him I was there when he had that meeting with them kids that was truant. He was hollering at them children. He was hollering at his staff members underneath him. And I talked to a couple of teachers. He hollers at them teachers where he got them intimidated. And reason why he can't recognize the bullying is probably because he's one himself. Because he's been hollering at me.
All right, Tawana, I don't want to take up, some of Flannerhouse's time with this. What I want in the studio to do, Chris, if you would talk to, don't apologize. What I want to do is, Chris, if you will talk to Tawana off air, see can she come in on the program Monday in studio in our 2 o'clock hour to talk about this more to the community and to the rest of the listenership. Tawana is a mom of some students, of a couple kids over at Tech High School, and her kids were bullied, not in the school, but they were bullied in their neighborhood by Tech students. The bullying was serious enough that law enforcement had to be called to deal with it. She fears for her kids' safety at Tech High School, but Tech, and she's kept her kids out of school for a couple of weeks from Tech because of the fears of safety, and the folks at IPS don't want to seem to lift a finger. And of course, this is the same school that had the situation with Dynasty Grimes, who was bullied and who complained, and his parents complained to the school, and the school didn't want to do nothing, and he felt so threatened that he had to break school rules and bring a stun gun in, which is unacceptable behavior. But if and I would hate to hear a situation of a principal yelling at anyone. So that situation, Tawana, if you're describing it accurately, that is unacceptable behavior by any principal of any school, whether it's IPS or any kind of district like that. So, Chris will get a hold of Tawana, and we'll have Tawana in the studio with us on Monday to try to get to the bottom of this particular mess. Where do we go from here? One of the things in the deputy mayor's statement was he indicated, Lakita Warthaw, that there was a review, and the implication in the statement was this review is because of the grades with iRead, but you're a mayor's charter school. They regularly review charter schools. This was a regular review.
Yes, it was actually a regular review. This is something that the mayor's charter schools, this is a process that they always use in order to allow another school or to allow that school to receive a charter or continue their charter. So it was time for us to receive a review. I don't see how that connects with our testing or our IRES results or anything like that, because we were indicated to have that review prior to the results of our IRES testing.
Angie?
IRES results were released after the site review was conducted. So it had nothing to do. We were not cited for a review because of iRead, which is the way the paper made it seem. Just to clarify that.
So the review people came in before May the 15th when the iRead results were there. Were they there before you all got the heads up before it went public?
That's correct. They were here already. And it was planned all the way back in March that we were going to do it. So they were here May 7th, 8th, and 9th, but that was a date that was worked for both them and us, and it was decided in March before they even took the test.
Takiyah White, as you were telling me about your third graders and they were filling out that answer sheet that required you to, to black it in the oval, and maybe this is the first time they had to deal with that. As you were talking, I had this thought that maybe a way teach your third graders next year, maybe start over in the kindergarten here at Flannerhouse, is maybe get a hold of the county clerk, who can get you some sample ballots, because the way you vote around here is you got to black it in the oval, and maybe if students see a sample ballot that has a Barack Obama's name and maybe a Michael Jordan's name or a Jay-Z's name or names they're familiar with, and you simply say, okay, this is like the ballot your parents and grandparents used to vote. This is how you do it. With that, maybe, you know, help get them to understand what black it, because some of us adults can't blacken in an oval pretty good.
I think that would be an awesome idea. I think they would really enjoy thinking that they were older and getting to do something that adults got to do. And then they would take some of the pressure out of filling in those bubbles when it really does count for them.
When is it scheduled for your third take, Irene?
June 29th.
And one of the concerns that I had when they were saying, well, you got to go to a summer school to do iRead was, would parents understand that's critical, delay your vacation to Mississippi, delay going to Disney World? You know, do the parents understand that and everybody's going to be here that day?
Yes, they understood the importance of it, and immediately they started calling me, well, when is it, Miss White? And even on the last day, they was like, okay, we'll see you back here June 18th, which is when our summer school begins.
So they're ready.
Yes, they are ready. And the parents have been practicing. We found, Ms. Hood found some websites that they can do some practice tests at home. So they're ready. They're ready to do that.
What, Lakita Warthaw, what final, you know, message do you want the community to know about all of this? I mean, this school has been a steady performer, a steady institution in this community ever since charter schools began. You know, you guys have gone from the depths of the negative. The media still, you know, doesn't want to even acknowledge, you know, the success that you've made. You know, they'd rather wait 3 or 4 weeks to get it official from the state, you know, and thinking, they must think I'm just making these numbers up. But what message do you want the community to know about all of this?
I think the message that I would like to convey to the community in reference to our iRead scores and the dip that we received is that although it was a hit for us, it's really going to be a stepping stone because it only can make us better. And I also want to make notice that we have to really get out of taking a single test and judging our students by that test. I believe that standardized tests are very well needed in order to measure performance, but we just need to look at a trifold of data. We need to look at different tests, and we need to put a measurement tool together because we know that every child learns differently. So there's also little areas that we also need to look at to measure our child, to measure growth. And I feel like at Flanner House, we do that. We have our NWEA, we take Acuity, we take iRead, we take iStep. So we have a series of standardized measurement tests that we give our students. Then we also have benchmarks that our students receive just by the teachers, data that we collect. And we're a data-driven school, and we're putting more emphasis on that because of these scores. But yes, it was a hit for us, but it really just gave us the fuel to keep on going. And also I would like to say too, we had a very, very supportive board who really wrapped their arms around the staff, myself as a leader, and their concern was immediately, what can we do? How can we support you all? How can we make sure that this doesn't happen again? How can we move forward? So basically, it was just a test, but what makes us feel good is that it was one test, and the other test, the iStep test, that is weighed much more heavily, really showed us a true picture of what our students were really doing and what their capability really was.
And so it sounds like the message is these tests, one test is not a playoff. It's the totality of the season. So you can lose a game and still win at the end of a season.
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. And I don't want anyone to walk away thinking that we just took the iRate test and we swept it underneath the rug, because that's not what we did. Like I said, we used that as a tool to just better equip us, better equip our students. We immediately start putting intensive remediation in place for these students. We supported our students. Yes, of course, we were disappointed, we were discouraged, but we just looked at our kids, We supported our teachers, our staff. Our staff came in as a whole, not just the third grade teachers, because we know in reality at some point there was a kindergarten teacher, a first grade teacher, and a second grade teacher. So we all wrapped our arms around these children. We wrapped our arms around our third grade teacher, and we said, well, what can we do? So we kind of really had to blind out the negativity because we knew our students. We knew what we were dealing with. So next year we plan to go in there, take this test, and I can say it's going to be different.
So you ain't going to be at the bottom of that list.
No, we won't be at the bottom of that list. We won't be at the bottom.
You will try to get up there with the Center for Inquiry.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. We'll definitely do that.
You know, the great Pat Russell McLeod, Indianapolis native, she has a favorite saying. She said, a setback is nothing more than an opportunity for a comeback. And that sounds like what's going on over here at Flanner House Elementary School. And when those third graders come back in the middle of June, you give them – because you talked about the morale of those students. That's not what I would have expected. And that's to the character of this school and to all of you. Tia White, third grade teacher, ace third grade teacher at Flanner House Elementary School. Angie Hood, the Title I teacher. See, now those of y'all didn't think Title I teachers were at the charter schools. Guess what? They are. So I guess Dr. White can't use that line anymore. And yes, I said that. And Lakita Warthaw, the principal, the school leader, the head lady over here at Flanner House Elementary School. Guys, thanks very much for being with us. We're glad to be here at this historic building.